few weeks ago, I was watching MeTV. Actually, it was what is the channel called? Grit, I believe it's called. And I like that channel because it shows a lot of old Western movies. I used to laugh at my father-in-law for watching old Westerns all the time, but you know, as I get old now, I enjoy watching them too. But there was one the other night that we've probably all seen, I believe a lot of us have, and that's one called Angel and the Bad Man. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I would see that the younger folks have no idea what I'm talking about, while some of the rest of us do, but I'm going to recommend that movie to you. If you ever have a chance to watch it, it's a John Wayne movie, so it's got to be good. But John Wayne portrays a gunslinger. He portrays a man that has done all that is evil that any man can. And he's injured and he's taken in by a Quaker family. And so the oldest daughter in that family begins to take a liking to him. Well, he eventually falls in love with her. And because he's exposed to their faith and their kindness, their love, their way of life, he changes the way he looks at things. He becomes a totally different person. He is converted to their lifestyle. And I'm going to borrow from that just a little bit this morning, because when we look at Acts chapter 5, what we read in our text a moment ago and what we're going to read in a few minutes, we're going to see that we're not talking about an angel, that is a young lady, and a bad man, but we're going to look at an angel, a real angel sent from heaven, and bad men. And so there is a comparison. We're not going to be looking for literal gunmen in our text this morning, but we are looking at spiritual gunmen, if you please, because that's what the leadership of that day was. We're looking at spiritual leaders in our text that had become corrupt, who no longer cared about truth, who no longer cared about anyone else but themselves. They were consumed with power and prestige and the position that they held over the people. What we're going to find in this story is that, unlike in that movie, the bad man who was willing to change, we're going to find out that these are bad men that were exposed to a number of good people, but they refused to change. But the good news is that even though they refused to change, in the end, they were conquered. They were conquered. Every time we look at a passage, we ought to ask the question, well, what is the main idea? What is the main thing that jumps out? And the main idea in Acts chapter 5, I believe, is that God delivers. God delivers. And what we're going to do, we're going to use the letter D as our memory glue this morning, and we're going to think about discouragement, we're going to think about deliverance, and we're going to think about daring. Discouragement, deliverance, and daring. So with that in mind, let's look at the text and see what we can find there that will open our eyes to the story of this angel and these bad men, and how God dealt with them. First of all, let's look at the discouragement. If you think about the chapter as a whole, in the very beginning of the chapter, we find we're introduced to a Christian man and to a Christian woman who turn away from God. People were selling their land and property, and they were giving money to the church. These two people decided to do the same thing, except they decided to keep back a part of it, and then lie and say that they had given it all. They weren't doing it to help anybody. They were doing it for the praise. They were doing it to glorify themselves. And so they lied about it to get attention. They wanted to bring attention to themselves, and God struck them dead. Maybe you haven't thought about it this way, but here was an attack against the church from the inside. These two people were Christians, and they were seeking to subvert what was going on inside that church. And one of the things that the devil tries to do when he tries to discourage people is to try to turn people away from God by using other folks that are right in the middle of them. You think about Judas Iscariot. He was one of the 12 disciples. He was right in the middle of them. And he turned against Jesus. And here we have two people among the church who are setting forth a terrible example and doing something that is terrible. But even though the devil tried to bring down the work of God, he couldn't do it. And in the aftermath of that, instead of discouraging people and turning them away, the very opposite happened. The church was growing and flourishing. People were obeying the gospel on the day of Pentecost, 3,000, later 5,000. Hundreds and thousands were being added to the church. And after the church saw the seriousness of what happened with Ananias and Sapphira, they began to respect the church. And more than that, they began to respect the Lord. Miracles are being performed by the apostles, and relatives are bringing family and friends to them to try to get them to be healed. In fact, some of them are laying them in the street and alongside the street so that the shadow of a passing apostle might convey some type of power to them and bring to them some type of healing. And so the very opposite of what the Jewish leadership wanted to happen is happening. But every time that the church is growing and flourishing, the devil's going to be attacking. He's not going to be satisfied. He's not going to be happy or content. And so immediately, he gets his forces together to harm the first century church. Look at Acts 5 and verse 17 again. The high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. What does that word indignation mean? If you look it up, it literally means to boil over. These leaders boiled over with bitterness and hatred toward the apostles, particularly Peter and John. Remember, they had put Jesus to death to try to silence him, to try to stop his teaching, to try to stop this movement, and yet Jesus just won't stay dead. He won't stay dead literally because he was risen from the tomb, and he won't stay dead because the apostles keep preaching his resurrection. In fact, there are more people following him now than they were when he was alive and teaching among them. They just can't keep Jesus in the tomb, literally or figuratively. And so now the apostles, they're out preaching, they're doing great things. People all over the city are flocking to them to hear their message. And the religious leaders were upset, and these were especially upset. Remember that the high priest and the leaders in this council were, for the most part, Sadducees. And Acts 23 and verse 8 tells us that they do not believe in the resurrection. So it wasn't just that they were preaching Jesus and that they were pulling people away from them, the disciples pulling them away from the leaders, but they were preaching the resurrection, which they had no confidence, they had no belief. And not only that Jesus was raised from the dead, but that because he was raised from the dead, that anyone else who put their trust in him could be raised from the dead as well. Chapter 5 and verse 40 emphasizes that the apostles were beaten. It says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. What I want to, and these are attacks from without. So we have in the first century church in Acts chapter 5 attacks both from within and from without. But what I want us to see this morning is that the devil uses dungeons of various kinds to discourage God's people. If we are living for Christ or doing our best to do that, if we're living for Christ and struggles come into our lives, you might be tempted to do what everyone else probably does at some point or another and just ask the question and to even cry out, "God, what did I do wrong?" Sometimes we do things wrong and we suffer because we've done things wrong. But you know, sometimes we suffer because we've done things right. Peter and John didn't suffer for doing something wrong. They suffered because they had done what was right. The devil doesn't want me to do right. If I do right, who is he going to attack? The person who is doing wrong? Or me? Or you, if you're doing what is right? He's going to attack us. It only makes sense. He doesn't want us to be happy. He doesn't want us to have hope. And so he's always going to be looking for dungeons, places emotionally that he can imprison us so that he can control us and so that he can hurt us. He's always going to have difficulties to bring down our good works and to destroy our hope and to destroy what God potentially can do in my life. Peter and John didn't let him, and we can't either. And so the second message here really is that while he is trying, the first message is that he uses these dungeons, but the second message, and the most important one I believe, is that while he is trying to discourage us, he is already defeated because God will deliver. Because God delivers, and that's our second point this morning from looking at this passage. There are three deliverances in our text this morning. There's deliverance from a dungeon, there's a deliverance from physical death for these apostles, and there's deliverance from the devil himself. Look at deliverance from the dungeon, the role of angels themselves. In Hebrews 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "But unto which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" Are they not the angels? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Notice carefully, the text does not say to minister to them, but to minister for them. The account about which we are reading is in the miraculous age, and the miraculous age has long since passed, but we are told this, we are shown this for a reason. To understand, as the Hebrews writer says, that the angels of God are being used and are used from time to time to help us in ways that we do not even understand. But there was a deliverance that was there, and there's a deliverance that we for which we seek from time to time. But we see the role of angels. The theme of the book of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ. In chapter 1, he talks about the Christ, how that Christ is superior to the angels. But it was the angels that were sent. Christ was exalted to the right hand of God. This is not said about the angels. They worship Christ, Hebrews 1 and verse 6. But we find angels here ministering to God's people. They were thrown in jail. Peter and John were thrown in jail. It was a public thing. Everyone could have and may have known about it. But not only that, it was a painful thing. The conditions were difficult. But the angel appeared. The angel was unseen by anyone else. But the angel appeared, and the angel released him from that prison. But what did he tell them to do? He said, when you leave here, you go back and do what you were doing. Don't you miss a beat. You return to what you're doing. You go and you stand and you speak all the words of this life. In some translations, that word life is capitalized. Why is that? Because he's talking about the Christian life, the life that we have in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the life. So the angel says, you go back to doing what you were doing. You go and you stand and you speak the words of this life, the life that we have in Christ. The life that he has offered, the life that he gives us. You know, it might be kind of hard to do that. They might have thought, there's no indication that they did, but they were human. They might have thought, well, Mr. Angel, it was preaching the resurrection of Christ that got me beaten, that got me put in jail in the first place. And you know this happened. They were released in the night. And the first inclination might have been, well, we need to go home and take a bath and relax, you know, and rest a little bit. But they went straight back to the temple. And they were preaching at the beginning of the day. They did what the angel told them to do. They went back to what they had been doing. Many times in Bible history, we'll see that God sent his angels to help and to deliver his people. And the point here this morning is that God is at work helping his people. And this is a miraculous example, of course, of an angel delivering the apostles from that prison. The miraculous age has ended. We know that. But the Hebrews writer says that God still uses his angels behind the scenes to do things for it, not to us, but for us. Think about that. When we have problems, when we're hurting, when we're struggling, to know that God's angels can be and are often sent to take care of things behind the scenes that we cannot see and that we may never know and may never even understand. No one else saw these angels but the apostles, or saw this angel but the apostles. And so the apostles obeyed. They began to preach and to talk about how God had delivered them from that prison and how God would deliver us all from the devil. Look at verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. See, they weren't worried about the truth. They weren't worried about a miracle. They were worried about their reputation. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom we put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Can't even bring yourself to say Jesus? We told you not to teach in this name. Wouldn't even say his name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Reputation, conscience, pride. All of these things come into play with this order toward the apostles. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. That is this life that they were to be preaching. Spiritual life, eternal life through Jesus. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Peter said, this is not a story or a hoax. We are his witnesses. We have seen the resurrected Lord. Because you're Sadducees, just because you're Sadducees, and just because the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, doesn't mean that it's not true. There are a lot of people in the world who don't believe in a lot of things. That doesn't mean that those things are not true and that they're not very real. Peter said, it is real. We're his witnesses. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they were cut to the heart, and they asked what they could do for salvation, but not these men. These men were in the presence of many righteous men, and yet they would not be converted. There stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Here is a man that was one of the most recognized and respected leaders of his day. And he basically says, hey, fellas, let me talk to you for just a moment. He said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously. He said, you know, there have been a lot of people that have come along who have claimed to be the Messiah. And you know what? There were some people that followed them. But after a while, they all came to nothing. And their followers, they all went away. But you know, what if this man really is who they're telling us that he is? What if what the apostles are saying really is true? If that's the case, then we are fighting against God, and you're not going to win that fight. And so the men thought, well, that's really good advice. And you go all the way down through verse 37, verse 38, he said, refrain from these men, let them alone. All right, but then look at verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Oh, wait a minute. We're not going to disobey completely. We're just going to disobey a little bit. And that way, if we were wrong, God won't be real mad at us. He'll just be a little bit mad at us because we beat them and we didn't kill them. They're not going to give it up, are they? They're not going to give it up. And then when they departed from the presence of the council, the apostles, that is, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. God was working to help his people, and this is a miraculous example to remind us that things are being done behind the scenes for our benefit. But notice here that they were delivered from death. This is verse 33 that we read a moment ago. The religious leaders are furious that the apostles are still preaching Jesus. You remember over in John chapter 20, how that when Jesus appeared to the disciples, that they were in a locked room? Why were they in a locked room? They were afraid. They were afraid that the Jews were going to take them out and kill them. The Jews had crucified the leader of the disciples. So thinking that there might be 12 more crosses that were ready to be erected upon that hill of Calvary, that wasn't a far-fetched possibility. And so they were afraid, so the doors were locked. You got to give them credit, at least they stayed in Jerusalem. You got to give them credit, at least they kept on meeting like Jesus told them to do. You got to give them credit for that, but they locked the doors because they were afraid, and they had a reason to be. Jesus appeared to them, and they were blessed because they were there that Sunday night. But the rulers, they were furious at what was going on. We got rid of Jesus. We had him crucified. We thought we had everything fixed. We thought we had solved the problem. But these 12 men, they're running all over the countryside telling everybody that he's been raised from the dead. And isn't it interesting that God raised up a deliverer from right there among them? Gamaliel, the one that told them that they needed to wait, that they needed to be careful because they might actually be fighting against God. And isn't it interesting that 2,000 years after Gamaliel made those comments, that we are sitting gathered together in an auditorium still talking about Jesus? And the reason for that in addition to the boldness and the daring of the apostles, is the boldness and the daring of people throughout the centuries and throughout the years to teach the message, to proclaim the message, no matter what man might think about it. And so the message is that God delivers, and that he is willing to deliver all people from the power of Satan. Number three, and finally, daring. The devil tried to discourage, but the divine God delivered. And the angel called upon them to be daring and to go back and to do it all over again. How did they respond? They could have died themselves, but they were told to go and to stand and to speak. The religious leaders said, "We strictly ordered you not to speak anymore in this name." They said, "We must obey God rather than men. God is the one we serve, not you guys." They were saying, maybe in a bit more common communication, but they were beaten again. They were beaten again, and they rejoiced because they did. They dared to do the right thing, even in spite of opposition. The angel is telling them to go. Why were they to go? They were to do it because God had given them something great to do. The message of salvation is the greatest message that has ever been delivered to mankind. So you need to go. Nobody's going to hear it if you're standing here. Go. Go stand in the temple. That's where people are going to gather. And stand. Because that is the posture for teaching as it was recognized in the temple in that day. Go and stand. But more than that, stand up for what is right. Be daring. Be bold. Stand for the truth. Stand for what is right. Go and stand and speak the words of this life. Keep telling people about Jesus who died on the cross for our sins and who was raised from the dead to die never again. That is the message that was to be preached. They were told to have the courage. You need to have the courage even if it means a dungeon, even if it means a whip, even if it means death. Even if they do crucify you like they crucified your Lord, are you better than he that you don't deserve it and he did? Go, stand, and speak. Speak the words of this life. We've already talked about this. What we have here in Christ is a consistent way of living and a blessed way of living because we know salvation can be ours. So let's go back and look at what we've seen. In Acts chapter 5, we find that the devil discouraged. We find that the divine Father delivered and that the disciples dared. So what will we do? Now, we haven't been put in prison, but there's been a lot of ways that the devil has discouraged us in our lifetime. But what are we going to do? Has the Father delivered us? So are we going to dare to speak the truth? Are we going to dare to obey the gospel? To become a Christian if I haven't done it already? To live the Christian life, to be strong in my faith, and with a smile on my face, to be able to say, no matter what comes, whether it be the whip, or whether it be a dungeon, or whether it be death, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what he has told me to do, because we obey God rather than men. You know, in the Old Testament, those boulders and bars were real. It was the angels that rolled away that boulder from in front of the tomb of Jesus. It was the angel who opened those doors, who released the apostles from the bars by which they were being held. The angels of God delivered them. Opened doors that they could not open. The devil still tries to discourage us, but the same God still delivers. He hasn't gone into retirement. But the question is, will we continue to tell people about God? The Jewish leaders refused to change. You go back to the movie and you find that John Wayne's character, he changed because of the influence of that family and especially that older daughter. These men were not exposed to just one angelic young lady, but they were exposed to many righteous men, and they refused. But because they refused in the end, God conquered them. Philippians 2:10 says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have an opportunity right now to make a choice. We have that opportunity every day. Will I be changed by the life of Jesus, or will I reject him and in the end have to be conquered by him, as were these men? We can confess him as Lord of our life now, or we can confess him later. I pray that it would be now. I pray that it would be today. I pray that we would be so influenced by what the love that Christ showed us by dying on the cross and the power that was shown to us by his resurrection, that we through faith would be obedient to the gospel, that we would repent of sins, that we would be buried with Christ in baptism. If you haven't done that, you can do that today. If you haven't been faithful, God has promised to forgive. If we confess our faults one to another, James 5 and verse 16, and we confess them to him, he has promised, 1 John 1 and verse 9. Angel and the Baby is a good movie. I hope you get to watch it. But you can see the difference that's made in one person's life by a family that is doing the right thing. In the New Testament, we read about the apostles doing the right thing, and though some rejected them and some persecuted them, and though the devil used their dungeon to discourage them, it didn't work because God delivered them and they dared to obey and keep preaching the gospel message of Christ. Let us be like the apostles and to have that daring and that courage and that strength every day as we live here upon earth. God has got a lot of things he can accomplish through us in our lives if we'll let him. Let's follow his will. If we could help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.